Welcome to Eat, Capture, Share, the podcast for food bloggers and food photographers who want to earn an income doing what they love. My name is Kimberly. I'm your host. Episode 127. Welcome back, everybody, to the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. My name is Kimberly Espinel. I'm a food photographer, food photography teacher. I'm the author of the Amazon bestselling book, Creative Food Photography, and a creative business mentor for food photographers, food bloggers, and food content creators just like you. And I'd like to say Happy New Year. Happy 2024. I hope this year is amazing for you and brings you all the things you've dreamed and hoped of, and that it is better than last year and the year before and all the difficult years that have been. So fingers crossed. I have a wonderful guest for you today, Allison Morgan. I will share a little bit more about Allison and what we're going to be chatting about in a second. But first, I wanted to let you know that the doors for my Instagram food photography and food reels challenge are now open. So between now and Saturday, the 13th of January, 2024, doors for the challenge will be open. The doors only open once, maximum twice a year. So this is really your chance to get going and start your year off with creativity, photography, reels, and or both. So if you head to the show notes, you can register for the challenge. Now, if you're listening to this after the fact, if the 13th of January 2024 has long come and gone, you can still follow the link. It will redirect you to the waiting list. So you're pre-registering for the next one, whenever that may be. And the challenge is free. It's fun. It's all about creativity, pushing yourself creatively, sharing more regularly on Instagram. It's wonderful. It's a blast. And Allison, who I'm interviewing today, is one of the guest judges. And I think it's going to be a really, really special edition of the challenge. And I'd love to have you. All right. Now on to today's podcast episode. I'm speaking to Allison Morgan, a videographer, content creator, writer. I will let her introduce herself properly in just a minute so you can hear everything directly from her. But I did want to share with you a little bit in terms of what to expect around this podcast episode. So it's really broken up into two parts. One is Allison talking through her creative process, how she found her style, how she made the transition from just sharing photos to now also sharing short form videos, and what has helped her manage that in terms of, you know, how to manage that creatively, energetically, but also just in terms of a workload whilst being a parent to two young children. And then the second part of our conversation is more about whether we should and need to, or don't have to at all, share our thoughts on political events, social justice, stuff that goes more into the political realm. And if we do share it, how best to do so. So I felt it was a really important discussion to have. I've not had it properly on this podcast before, but as we've gone through Black Lives Matter and COVID and the Middle East crisis and so many other things, the war in Ukraine, like there's been so much happening where I know that so many of us are really struggling with, should I say something? Should I not say something? Is it business as usual? How do we navigate this? And especially as our influence and our platform grows, does that also mean that the need for us to show up beyond just sharing recipes or food photography tips or what have you, that need grows as well? So I really wanted to have a discussion with Allison about it because A, I value her thoughts and her insights, and B, because I just love how she shows up in moments of crisis and political unrest. And I thought she would be a great person to have a discussion with. Now, spoiler alert, we don't really come to a definitive answer or definitive conclusion. We just really pose questions and share thoughts, deep held thoughts. So I'm not suggesting that we have all the answers and we've got the approach down to a T. But I hope that there's snippets here that you can take away and apply to, if nothing else, take and mull over as you explore how best you want to show up during times of global crises. So all that to say, there's a lot of gems here in this episode, a lot of food for thought. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. Allison, thank you so much for agreeing to come onto the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. We are recording this the very, very tail end of December in the run up to Christmas. So it's hectic. It's busy. I really, really appreciate you making time to chat with me. Now, I've been following you for a long time. I know you from Instagram, but if there's anybody here tuning in who's not come across you or your work, please introduce yourself.
Thank you so much. It's really wonderful to be here with you as well. So I am Allison Morgan, and I started my online presence with my Instagram account, Allison Simply Grows, really as a creative outlet as a new mother. I was looking for a means to connect with like-minded individuals, sharing my own healing process, my own means of finding courage to share my voice, and looking for people who are also concerned with issues of climate change and social justice and what little ways we could make a change. And my therapist actually suggested that I start an Instagram account because mm-hmm. I had tried to start a blog for years. Mm-hmm. It would be January 1st and I'd, you know, gather up like all my ideas and my courage. And I was like, I'm going to write a blog post. So I would write a post and then I wouldn't share it with anyone. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of just doubt and self-criticism that I had. So he was like, well, if you could write just, I don't know how many characters at that time were on Instagram, but like 150 characters or words and share it in this space and make a practice of doing that, you know, a couple times a week, maybe that would build the practice of writing and sharing. And that's kind of how I got started.
I love it. Yeah. Amazing. I feel you have a very distinct voice, but also a very distinct visual identity. And I would be curious to know, had you done any photography, any kind of visual arts prior to starting your Instagram, or did you kind of develop your style, you know, as time went on?
So I would say that I have always been a very creative person. My dad, it kind of runs in my family, like my uncle, you know, drew these beautiful like wildlife kind of portraits growing up. And mm-hmm. my dad was also an artist. So when I was young, I would break into his artist, like his art box, you know, playing with his pencils and his erasers and his paper. And so mm-hmm. he, from a very young age, taught me a lot about perspective and, you know, composition. So I always found myself in the art classroom growing up. Yeah. It was kind of like the safe haven, this place that I knew that I was like good at what I was doing and really felt comfortable. And as a new mom, I found it very difficult to just sit down and create. And so my husband and my mother and my mother-in-law kind of, they got together and they bought me my first camera. Mm-hmm. And so I found that to be kind of a quick and easy way for me to capture what my eye sees mm-hmm. on a day-to-day basis and kind of like the moments of beauty in my, you know, the light streaming in through the kitchen or, you know, my daughter and son playing outside or, you know, the trees and the winter light. And so I found myself just really exploring the camera. Mm-hmm. I'd never taken a class on photography, but I really feel like I applied a lot of the principles I learned as a child to how I was seeing things. Yeah. And so I really, sometimes people were like, oh, like, how do you do this? Or if I were to try mm-hmm. to teach someone else photography, it's very difficult for me because I learned in such an intuitive mm-hmm. way, just kind of playing around with, you know, the aperture and the mm-hmm. ISO and finding, you know, the settings that really captured the mood or the light in the way that I want to see it. So yeah. So then I just began to take photos and yeah, Instagram became this place where it was so easy to combine the two, right? Like these really like meaningful conversations or my spiritual kind of like journey and healing mm-hmm. and process with like a beautiful image. So that was really the beginning of photography for me. And then it kind of, I don't know, it snowballed from there. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, what I'll do is I'll definitely put your, you know, the link to your Instagram in the show notes so people can check out your work, because it is really stunning. And I feel it's just, it's very soothing, very calming, very elegant. Yeah, I really, really love it. So oh, it's interesting so to kind of hear how you found your way to it. Now, of course, from you were on Instagram before Reels was a thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now as we're moving into this kind of post-photography only era where video is taking over, how did you find that transition from photos to Reels? Did that come to you very naturally? Did you take to it instantly? Did you have some resistance? Yeah, please. Yeah. What were your thoughts and feelings about using a different medium to tell your story?
It was interesting. I was resistant to it at first, but I feel like more of that resistance was just like my natural inclination to say no to something. Mm-hmm. Just like as a Taurus, I don't know. I feel like I can get a little bit like stuck mm-hmm. in what I'm doing. And just like, if I like something, I like it. And then, you know, I don't really think about the other options. And I actually found Reels at the beginning an interesting medium. Like once I started to try it, mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I was like, okay, like it is a natural extension. It's, you know, a way to capture something with a little more like story and cinematography. Yeah. I do still love photography.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's a balance between like the creative process and creating something because I'm compelled to do so mm-hmm. or feel pressured to, or because I feel like that does register as well in mm-hmm. the content and in the feeling behind it, right? Is like, if it comes from that like creative well space, it connects with other people, right? Like yeah. in a meaningful way. And I don't want to get caught up in creating for the sake of, I don't know, beating the algorithm. Yeah. I want to create because it means something for me. I have something to share. So I do find like, okay, like looking at all, like all of the content can feel overwhelming. And so mm-hmm. I want to make sure that what I'm putting out there and creating is, I don't know, sustainable for me, sustainable for those who follow me. It is, it's an interesting age to live in.
Yes.
Where everybody now can be a creator. Mm-hmm. And there is so much content to consume. Yeah. And so I often feel like I don't have to add to that. I don't have to add to that. And there's so much out there, you know, and it can, I think, add to feelings of overwhelm or, I don't know, fear of missing out. I'm not doing all of the DIY, all the recipes all the time, all the this, all the that. But like as a mother of two, I can't actually do all of the things. Yes. And so trying to find a healthy balance and to kind of preserve my own creative energy and outpouring, knowing what's for me and what isn't. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love to understand in terms of your, you know, you said something, and I'm going to be paraphrasing rather than probably getting the exact words here, but you were kind of talking about having getting the balance right and not kind of depleting yourself energetically in that creation process of doing something that feels, you know, sustainable. I think that was the word mm-hmm. that you used. And I'd like to know, because creating photos is time consuming, mm-hmm. but creating video content is even more time consuming. So mm-hmm. I would love to know how much content you create and how you work towards finding a balance that is sustainable and that is, yeah, that resonates with you and works with your family life.
Yeah, I think as I do more creation for other, I don't know, outlets, I mm-hmm. find I'm doing less for myself, but that's the creation for myself is equally as important to yeah. keeping my creative juices flowing. Is to have something that is like purposeful or meaningful or like is like a spark. And so I try to spread out my work. I don't say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. I have trouble because sometimes my creative impulses are not aligned with my children's schedule or things I need to do or meetings I need to get to. And so trying to carve a space out during the time, like the time of day in which I know that I'm usually more creative, which is like somewhere after 10 o'clock. I don't know. It's just very strange. Like for photography, for like that kind of creation, it's during the day. And like for writing, it's at night. Mm-hmm. So I have to be mindful of when I do that work. And so communicating with my husband is really important, to be like, I have these projects coming up and I'm, you know, a lot of times I have to percolate on something for a little while, thinking about colors or textures or materials I want to use or a mood. And that process of kind of like brainstorming takes a little bit longer. Yeah. And then once I have an idea or something that I feel is what I'd like to create, like that process from that point to the end is not as long for me. Mm-hmm. So just kind of like being mindful of kind of my own ebbs and flows and planning and structuring kind of around that.
I mean, what I'm hearing you say really is that at the core, and I appreciate that you're also running this as a business, so I don't want to take away from that. But what I'm hearing you say really is that the core of your creation process is creativity, is authenticity, is curiosity, rather than a social media strategy. Mm-hmm. Does that?
Yeah, I think I have a conversation. I have conversations with lots of different creators, and I value their work and their process. And sometimes I look at it and I'm just like, okay, that is not for me, right? Yeah. Like that process is not for me. And I don't produce my best work that yes. way either. Yeah. And so if I'm looking to create quality over quantity, which, you know, like in a whole bunch of ways in my life, I value sustainability. I value how we eat our food, how we live our life, like our kids, you know, aren't on TV all the time or whatever, all of these different things. Like if I value that in these other areas of my life, why not with myself and my work and like my output? And so,
I love that.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because I do value consistency. So I do try to post as consistently as I can, but I don't think, I feel like the algorithm is also so fickle. It's kind of like, why would I bend and move to something that is not predictable in that way either? Yeah. So
I'd love to know if there's anybody who's tuning in who's still not sure about creating reels or video content, because a lot of people tuning in are food photographers. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's anybody tuning in who's like, I'm not sure if I can make the shift from photography to videography, is there anything you can share in terms of tips or anything that has helped you make the leap and make it quite successfully? Like quite a few of your reels have done really, really well. So yeah, any tips that you can share around that?
I think to anybody that's trying to, I don't know, get into that or break through that is, you know, I'd say like a couple things, like finding a formula that works for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think it always has to be complicated. I see so many reels that are really, really quite simple, right? Like it's almost just like a moving image. And so like at a starting point, like that is like the simplest way to do that. And then combining it with, I don't know, whatever your process or your, you know, what you're delivering, your recipe, your personal reflections, like that can be where more of your work goes in. I personally really like longer form. I like the storytelling. I like following someone kind of like through a process.
Yes.
And so I actually found that that is really fun for me to create. Then I try to like intersperse that with something that is like shorter and less involved, I guess.
Yeah. You know, this is so interesting for me because, you know, as I mentioned before, as we're recording this, it's December. We're in the middle of multiple wars all across the world, right? Mm-hmm. And what I found really interesting is just observing myself, how much time I do spend looking at longer reels that are telling me something that I'm very curious about and want to learn more about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these last couple of months have really shown to me that if the content, you know, I'm saying this very crudely now, mm-hmm. because obviously these are life events and they're not set out to be, you know, content pieces to be enjoyed necessarily. But if the content captures me and captures my heart and captures my soul, I'm happy to spend three minutes looking at a reel. Mm-hmm. And before, you know, if you told me that 6 months ago, I'd be like, what? Like, Instagram's just quick and easy. It's snappy. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing myself, I'm observing myself being completely engaged in these longer form content because they add value, because they go deeper, because they stir an emotion, whatever it is. And mm-hmm. that's, you know, to tie it back in with what you're saying, it's been really fascinating for me to see that actually maybe we've misunderstood reels in some way and misunderstood mm-hmm. Instagram, that we've seen it just as like quick, everybody's got low attention span or whatever. But in actual fact, if we manage to capture people's attention and retain people's attention, long form, in-depth content mm-hmm. is possible.
Yeah, I think it's social media has so many interesting facets to it. I think it's really important to consuming content and to creating it is your own personal like wellness practices around boundaries and around what hooks you, right? Good or bad, right? Yeah. Like what are things that are not for you and what are things that are? Yeah. And just really like having some self-reflection and self-awareness as we open these apps and use and view and consume, right? I think it's really important to think more deeply about it.
Yeah.
What I've seen and experienced personally over the last, I'd say 3 to 4 years between COVID in 2020, Black Lives Matters here, and now, you know, the horrific, you know, things that are happening in Palestine, is that we as humans really are looking for connection. But also, like, these spaces are what we bring to them. And just being mindful of that. And I think they can be used as tools for social change and connection. And, you know, like you were saying earlier, like, you feel like you know me, like, we feel like we have a relationship. Mm-hmm. And for me, Instagram did start off that way. It was keeping in contact with friends that I'd moved far away from and keeping in touch with people. And I really do believe that you can cultivate relationships in these spaces. And I do think like there's a certain level of like connectivity that it gives us that is so powerful. And how can we use that in a meaningful way to create and change?
Yeah, I love that. And it leads very nicely into my next question, because I don't have an answer and I keep chopping and changing. So I want to set that up because I don't want to set you up into some sort of trap, like, you know. But for me, the question I keep asking myself is, if we have a platform, if we've built an audience, if we are quote unquote influencers, content creators, like, do we have a responsibility to also use that for social justice causes or anything that goes beyond, for, you know, for my listeners in particular, the kind of food photography, recipe development, you know, do we have a responsibility? Being a full-time food photographer and creative business owner is stressful. There's no question about it. From liaising with clients to creating content for Instagram to answering emails, it's a lot. What's helped me stay grounded, focused, positive, and energetic has been my commitment to a solid morning routine. At the center of that routine is good hydration and a fair dose of antioxidants to see me through the day, both of which are provided by Magic Mind. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity drink made of ceremonial grade matcha, lion's mane, turmeric, and ashwagandha. In short, everything you need to show up your best at client shoots or long days of food content creation. Unlike coffee, it doesn't give you the jitters, yet still keeps me feeling focused and alert. Plus, Magic Mind tastes absolutely delicious and is insanely healthy too. If you're a listener in the US, you can find Magic Mind at Sprouts Market. Alternatively, you can order Magic Mind online and receive your delivery straight to your door. Simply use code ECS20 to receive 20% off your one-time purchase or your subscription, the latter of which offers you further savings. You can find the link to all things Magic Mind in the show notes. Again, remember to use code ECS20 to get 20% off. I've loved drinking Magic Mind, and I know you will too. Hey you, are you struggling to create engaging short-form video content but feel overwhelmed and don't know where to start or how to improve the reels you're already filming? Then listen up. After months of talking about it, I am so excited to announce that our Reels course for food photographers and food content creators is ready to launch. Well, almost. If you'd like to be able to create short-form video content, including engaging recipe reels or educational how-to clips, then our Reels online course for food photographers and food content creators may be for you. After having numerous content pieces go viral in 2023, I decided to pack all that I learned into a comprehensive online course where I outline exactly how to script great short-form videos, how to produce that all-important hook, how to film like a pro even if you just use your phone for content creation, and how to edit your reels to perfection. Doors to our Reels course for food photographers and food content creators will officially open at the end of January 2024. But you can join the waiting list today to ensure you hear about the course first and get the best possible introductory offer. Please head to the show notes and follow the link to add your name today. And if you're listening to this after the fact, do still follow the link, as it will take you straight to the course page where you will find lots more information. We're so excited to have you. And I kind of chop and change with it because sometimes I think no, in that you have to share something that is authentic to you, that you feel able to speak to and feel strongly about, number one. And number two, you have to be in a place mentally and physically where you feel that you can deal with whatever, you know, speaking your truth, you know, will throw at you. And there will be abuse and thoughts and, you know, all sorts of emotions. And, you know, sometimes we're not in that space. But then another part of me thinks, like, why am I even online? Why am I building an audience if I'm not doing more? And if I don't say something and if I don't use my channels, then that means the burden of change falls on other people's shoulders. Yeah. Whereas if we all say something, then that weight is carried collectively. And so, you know, if I'm in a position of privilege, it would be a shame not to use that. So I kind of, and then another part of me is, of course, ultimately we have to make that decision for ourselves. Like for me, not to say anything, I can't, you know, I try and I'm like, I'm not built like this. So
I think that this very conversation is just like maybe one of the issues with social media, right? Like, is to feel like we are put in a certain box or a category and then can't say something when we feel called to. It's just like, how do we use it instead to share the multitudes of our being, right? Like we are not just one thing. We are not just one aspect. Yeah. And I think all of those things that you are saying are very valid points. And I guess it's something that I've struggled with too, because like my background is in these very conflicts, right? Like I took a class on Middle Eastern politics and like learned in history and like learned about all of these things. But I also love sharing about my home decor, you know? So if you are following me for pictures of my kitchen, and then I'm like saying and sharing stories and voices of Palestinians, you might be very confused. To me, it's not confusing. It's very straightforward because these are all aspects of myself. Yeah. And I strive to show up as a whole, as much as a whole person and integrated as possible. And I think that what you're saying about privilege and platform and audience is all very important. I think that you know, considering what's going on in the world, I personally feel like I can take a little heat from someone if they have something to say to me, you know, if they have an issue with what I'm sharing, like I am prepared to say that X, Y, and Z. And I feel like we really want people to be perfect instead of human in some of these situations. And so I think if like one day you feel okay doing something and the next day you don't, and then the next day you do, and the next day you don't, like that is perfectly fine. Like it's not black and our lives are not black and white. How we show up shouldn't be that way.
I love that.
And to listen to your own intuition about things, if you're feeling really called to share something, you know, I'd say do it. If you feel like I need a week off of this platform, do that. Like we, you know, these are our businesses, but we are the humans behind them. Every business has a human behind them. So I think it's important to tend to that. And then to understand that that is also what connects us is our humanity, and to like, to allow that to infuse this app, which is a platform for us to engage, right?
Yeah, that really resonated. That really makes sense. And I think that's maybe part of, you know, the way that you've made a distinction that some people want to show up and really not box themselves in, but present one side of their being and have that side be public. And that feels to them authentic and real and comfortable. And then maybe there are quote unquote brands like you and me. Part of us is showing up more holistically. And I'm not trying to say one's better than the other. Yeah. I have to stress that. But where, because that's definitely the case for me and for you as well, especially because you don't just do your kitchen. You do, you know, astrology and your garden and your children and food and, you know, so many different things. And that feels like the right approach for you as your brand. And then maybe that's also part of why stepping into something more political makes sense for some of us and feels very natural and authentic and less so for others.
Right.
Yeah.
I also wanted to touch on another point that I had kind of thought about as you were speaking about, you know, your audience being food photographers and, you know, sharing recipes. And I've found it very beautiful the way you've woven your reflections with food. And I think that food is inherently political, as are most things. So I think there is a way to weave together this aspect of food that is the storytelling and recipe development and sharing. And it's just deciding what stories we are going to tell, right? Yeah. And like that is part of this social justice movement is thinking about whose stories, what stories, where is this food from? Who's growing this food? And that is such a powerful piece of connection. Mm-hmm. Like everybody does food, right? Like, and so that is where food can be such a unifying force as well as an element of awareness or awakening. The process for me is to get as real and honest and truthful with myself and like my existence, and to shy away from the uncomfortable things in life is what I think has gotten us into the mess that we're in, right? Yeah. And so it doesn't have to be completely like so hard line, right? Because I feel like there's extremism on both sides. And I think that it is perfectly okay to find a middle ground in which we can bring some of our like heart and humanity into what we're creating.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking out loud now, but you know, you say something in that, and I want to be sure not to be judgmental. So if this comes across as judgmental, I apologize in advance. I'm just thinking out loud. You said something about being hardline on both sides. And the way that I read that or apply that to how we are now is, you know, I think there's some people who are still sharing brownie recipes and not pretending like nothing's going on, but essentially pretending like nothing's going on because that's the position that they've taken, that they won't speak about certain things, which I respect, but in a way it also feels very jarring. And then there's other people who have always shared recipes and now essentially their entire feed is reshares of all the, you know, horrors that are unfolding. And that also feels a little intense, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. And again, mm-hmm. I'm not judging either approach. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to do what feels right. Mm-hmm. But I think the reason that your posts resonate with me is because it still feels like you, and it still feels, it feels like the extension of you. You know, mm-hmm. everything's still, yeah, very Allison, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. And I think what I have tried to do is, I haven't on my Instagram grid, for example, I haven't reposted anything, even if I felt like, oh my God, everybody needs to hear this or see this. Mm-hmm. But instead, what I've tried to do is really go back to like, what is the core of my purpose mm-hmm. on this platform? And mm-hmm. for me, the core of my purpose, of course, is to run my business. Yes, but actually is to empower and educate mm-hmm. so that anybody who wants to do food photography full time or content creation full time has the tools to do that. Mm-hmm. That's my purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I've really tried to weave that or combine that mm-hmm. with how I'm feeling in my heart, what's going on, so that it feels not completely off brand, so to say. Yeah.
For sure.
But it still feels like I'm being authentic and speaking to something that feels timely. Mm-hmm. Because I think as creators also, you know, it's another dimension. It's kind of Nina Simone approach is like, isn't that what being a real artist means? It's like capturing mm-hmm. a zeitgeist, capturing something mm-hmm. and presenting it in a way that will resonate with your audience and that resonates with you, yourself. Does that make sense?
It does completely. And yeah. I think also, just to carry with us the need to connect, like what the purpose of this platform yeah. is, or our own purpose is, we don't need more division. We do need more connection. And connection can come in many forms. Yeah. And I love the idea of holding my space, my platform, as like, you know, I think it was a couple of months ago, there was like this meme going around where you like put your name and then Core at the end of it, like Allison Core or Kimberly Core. And like what comes up, that led me to start thinking about, okay, like what is my core, mm-hmm. right? Like, and my core is that like, I'd like to see my platform is like a big dinner party, like a dinner table, right?
Yes.
So I, you know, come as you are, I'm sharing food, I'm sharing recipes, I'm opening my home to you. Yes. And I love to have conversation. Like what mm-hmm. kinds of conversations are at this table? You know, I'm talking about the moon, talking about what's growing in my garden. I'm talking about what's happening in the Middle East. Like if you are coming to my home and sitting at my table, I'm not going to pretend like bad things aren't happening in the world. Like I would love to hold a space for you to have your full range of emotions. I want to hold a space for you to cry. I want to hold a space for your joy. I want to share a drink. Like that is like my desire. And like, you know, the core of my platform is like, that's what I wanted. I wanted to have conversations about climate change. I wanted to have conversations about social justice. Yeah. I wanted to share what socks I'm wearing. I don't know, you know, like if we were like friends, right? Like what are we doing and what are we sharing? And so as the framework
for— I love that. I love that. So what I'm going to say to anybody listening is maybe to do that exercise, like what is your core? What is your core? What is your dinner table discussion? Mm-hmm. You know, and how does that translate into your online brand, you as an influencer and content creator? And I love that idea. And the other thing you said that I really, really love is, you know, we need less division and more connection. And by having difficult conversations, that's one step towards that. And respectfully mm-hmm. having difficult conversations, that that rings true to me. So thank you so much, Allison. Yeah. Thank you. I really needed this discussion more than just recording it for the podcast. Yeah. I really needed this for me because I'm just like, you know, I have all these thoughts and I wanted to speak to somebody who's showing up similarly online. And
I feel like that, like, I don't know. That is my goal, I guess, in 2024 is like, I really want to gather and to communicate like face to face, like in person, like conversations and holding space for each other, because I do think that is like, that can feed us so much.
100%, 100%. Allison, before we wrap things up, I did want to create a tiny little bit of space for you to just talk about your book, because it is so gorgeous. And I feel it really encapsulates so much of what we've talked about today. So I don't know if you want to share a little bit more about it before we wrap up our conversation.
Sure. Thank you so much. Yes, my book is Our Kindred Home: Herbal Recipes, Plant Wisdom, and Seasonal Rituals for Rekindling Connection with Earth. And I would say that that also sums up my book, right? I feel like my book, I wanted it to be a companion. I wanted it to kind of feel like it was a conversation with me. And it really was born out of my own personal healing journey, kind of what it means to be a Black woman in America, and reconnecting with my roots, my ancestors, myself, the earth that I stand on. And in my husband and I's journey, we moved from California to the Midwest. Then we moved from a big city here in the Midwest to a very small town. Yeah. And we kind of got plopped into this little cottage that had this garden. And the woman who owned the house before us grew this garden. She was an herbalist. And so at that time, I didn't know much about herbs, but I had the experience to learn the plants from the plants themselves. And I feel like it was one of the greatest gifts and really the healing journey that they took me on through the seasons, I wrote down in this book. So, and in that, I'm hoping that other people start their own journeys with plants, because I found, you know, you can buy lots of herbal books, but there was a dimension of connecting with plants that opened up so much for me. And I share that in the book, but it's really an invitation for other people to reflect and connect with the earth and connect with the seasons and each other through the plants.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, we'll pop a link to your book in the show notes so everyone can check it out and get it, maybe as a way to start the new year. I think it'd be a great way to start the new year to add that to your book collection. And then also, Allison, can you let us know where people can find you? Mm-hmm. Anything else that you want to say before I've got one more question for you before we bring the episode to a close, but anywhere that people can find you apart from, you know, your Instagram, which we'll link to, anywhere else you'd like to send people to?
I have my website, which is just my name. So www.allisonmorgan.com. And then I've also started a Substack. So you can find me there. It's called Human Nature by Allison Morgan. And so I've been writing just a little bit about the moon phases, and I plan on sharing a little bit more about my own journey of being human on this earth, which is wild at these, you know, at this time in our lives. So,
Great. Allison, I always end the podcast by asking my guests what their most favorite thing to eat, what their most favorite thing to capture, and what their most favorite thing to share is. And I'd love to hear your answers to those questions.
My most favorite thing to eat. Well, this is a very hard question.
This is the hardest question.
This is such a hard question. I love, like, right, and I think it might just be seasonal, but I love beets. I love, like, I don't cook them that often, which is like a strange thing, and I should more. But like a beet salad is one of my favorite things to eat. Like golden beet, maybe some kind of crunchy nut.
Yes.
And a cheese. That like it makes my body sing. And my favorite thing to capture is I love capturing plants. Right now, everything is kind of dreary outside, but spring flowers is really one of my most favorite things to capture. And in part of that for me, which is maybe different for, you know, food photographers, but there's something about capturing a plant that really helps me connect in with that plant. It's almost a meditation of sorts. And so, yeah, I just get to, you get to capture this living entity, this beauty and flowers, especially, that's their final form, you know? So,
And then your most favorite thing to share?
I love sharing music, actually. And so sometimes I do that in my reels, but I've been known to share favorite songs with friends. I love, you know, dancing in the kitchen with my kids. And yeah, I really love to share that with people.
Love it. Allison, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
As always, everything and anything mentioned in today's podcast episode, including links to Allison's book, her social channels, her website, all the things, can be found in the show notes, including, of course, the registration for the Eat, Capture, Share Instagram Food Photography and Food Reels Challenge, a link to pre-register for my Reels course, a link to Magic Mind, everything and anything. Like I repeat, everything and anything will be in the show notes, so be sure to check that out. And then I will be back same time, same place in about 2 weeks' time with a super fun episode. Cannot wait to connect with you then, and stay well. Before I leave you, I wanted to say thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the podcast. I also wanted to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by my Eat, Capture, Share newsletter community, and I'd love for you to join. I will pop the details on how you can join my creative community in the show notes, so do go and check it out. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it means so much if you can rate, review, and subscribe. All those things will help the podcast to grow and to reach the right audience. And yeah, you'd kind of make my day. All right, see you soon. Take care.